Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. God's word for our sermon on this Palm Sunday is from the gospel, or is from the epistle, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, that you heard read to you just a few minutes ago. My dear fellow believers in Jesus Christ, I'm sure that some of you love to go on roller coaster rides. I don't, because I get motion sickness very easily. In fact, I can't even ride on a Ferris wheel without getting sick. But I'll bet some of you, lots of you, love to go up and down on that roller coaster at great speeds. You find it exhilarating. Of course, you know that at the end of your ride, you're going to end up down on the ground safely again. Today is Palm Sunday. It is the beginning of Holy Week. And we have a big roller coaster ride in front of us this week. We see the roller coaster ride that Jesus Christ took as he entered triumphantly into Jerusalem today on Palm Sunday. And then how he descended into the depths of the grave there on Good Friday. And then came up again back to the top through his victorious resurrection on Easter Sunday next week. It was the ride of Jesus' life. But his ride wasn't just about him. You and I are going through those ups and downs with him this week. Just as you and I will go with him on those ups and downs for the rest of our lives. And so here's what God says to all of us on this Palm Sunday. Get ready for the ride of your life. First off, it's a ride that Jesus took for us. And secondly, it's a ride that we take with him. This scripture text that we have in front of us is the best description that we have in the whole Bible about the two states of Jesus, the two conditions of our Savior, his state of humiliation and his state of exaltation. Humiliation means that Jesus was humble, that Jesus was brought down, that he was lowered. That state began when Jesus was conceived in the womb of his mother Mary. As the Apostles' Creed explains, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, then born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And then Jesus' state of exaltation began with his being made alive again in the grave. His body was reunited with his soul, and in his newly glorified condition, the creed says Jesus descended into hell to preach a victory sermon there. And then he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And right now he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. See, we're in the state of exaltation right now, waiting for Jesus to carry out the last phrase of the Apostles' Creed to come back to judge the living and the dead. The states of humiliation and exaltation have to do only with the human part of Jesus as the God-man. For you see, as God, Jesus couldn't be humbled because God by himself can't be humbled. God can't be changed, can't be brought down, can't be made low by himself. And likewise, as God, Jesus couldn't be exalted, couldn't be lifted up either. Because God is already exalted. He's already lifted up as much as he can be. But in union with the human part of Jesus, Now God could be humbled. And God could be exalted, huh? For in having that happening to the God-man, Jesus, God himself was participating in everything that happened on that first Holy Week. The Apostle Paul explains the humiliation in detail here in our text. See, even though Jesus was already God before the creation of the world, even though he was already completely divine before he was ever conceived in the womb of Mary, Jesus didn't consider his being God as something that he could take advantage of or use for himself. The Apostle Paul says instead, he made himself nothing. In the original language, it says he emptied himself. Emptied himself not of being God, but he emptied himself in that he didn't make full and continuous use of his being God. You see, while Jesus lived here on this earth, he didn't make full and continuous use of his divine power that he had, his divine majesty, his divine omniscience, or his divine omnipresence. Instead, Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant. Better translation, the form of a slave. Huh? And he lowered himself to die the most ignominious and shameful of all deaths, death on a cross. For crucifixion was reserved for the worst of criminals, and yet Jesus went through it. And we know why he did that. It was to take away sins. This Holy Week ride that Jesus took was completely for us, not for himself. This Holy Week ride, you see, was in our place. Jesus did it all as our substitute. And so this Holy Week ride, therefore, is unique. It's one of a kind. There's nothing like it. Nobody else could have taken this ride that Jesus took. Nobody else could have dealt with our sin. Nobody else could have gone through what Jesus went through. Jesus did everything that he did in Holy Week for you and for me and for every sinner on this planet. He obeyed the will of his heavenly Father and took that ride of his life, a ride that took him to Golgotha, a wooden beam, nails in his hands, a spear in his side, and a heart that stopped beating in death. But by this ride that Jesus took, you and I and a whole world of evil sinners find forgiveness of sins and eternal life with God. This week's ride for Jesus, however, didn't end with Good Friday. When the God-man breathed his last on Friday, and when he shouted out, "It is finished, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," that wasn't the end of it all. Paul explains in our text. He says, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Jesus' stone-cold dead body became alive again in the grave. And then he descended into hell and preached his victory sermon. He told the devil and all that follow him that they had been defeated. The grave is empty, as we'll see next Sunday morning, right? And then Jesus appeared to his disciples. He spoke with them. He ate with them. He instructed them. He comforted them. And then 40 days after Easter, he ascended back to his throne on high. And that's where our Jesus is right now, filling the whole universe in glory, ruling the whole universe, controlling the nations of this world, giving his Holy Spirit to his church, and bringing people to faith in him, holding us in faith in him, and running our daily lives for our eternal good. That's where Jesus' Holy Week ride ended up. Back in heaven, at God's right hand, where he as God had come from to begin with. What a tremendous comfort that is for us as Christians, that Jesus' roller coaster ride ended up at the top in heaven, right? Just think of it. There's a man up there in heaven now who's running the show in this world. This God-man, Jesus, that's the name that is above every name. This Jesus, this historical character, this man of Nazareth, he's in charge of the nations of this world. He's overseeing all of the actions of the United States of America. He's in control of President Biden and all the members of Congress. He holds court over the Supreme Court of America. He puts all of the terrorists of this world on a leash and lets them do nothing that he's not in control of. Jesus is ruling over all of the evil people in this world, from all of the evil world leaders right on down to the manipulative and deceptive people that we run into at work or at school or in our daily lives. The man Jesus in heaven is controlling the war in Ukraine. He's got China and Russia under his thumb. He's in charge of your life and mine, right down to the daily details. Even school shooters are only doing what they're doing because they're allowed to by him. Even car accidents and plane crashes and heart attacks and cancer and the terrible deaths of our loved ones, they're all under his watchful eye. In fact, the very hairs of our head are all numbered, if we have some. And Jesus promises that he will make everything in our lives work out for our eternal good. Because you see, he deliberately took that Holy Week ride to the cross. And he shed his blood for us. And he wants us to be with him forever in heaven. And he promises that he will make that all happen. So my friends, get ready for the ride of your life. This ride that Jesus took had you and me included in it the very instant that he went through with it. Now, this is true that Jesus' ride was unique, one of a kind, nothing like it. For Jesus alone could walk the path. And it's all finished. It's all completed. It's all done. But you know, we Christians can't be neutral to what happened during Holy Week. There's no way that we can adopt the sort of ho-hum attitude, it's another religious festival attitude about what happened. We can't look at Holy Week with some sort of intellectual detachment. Our hearts and our minds and our wills have to react to this rite of Jesus. And that's the second part of our sermon for this morning on Palm Sunday, as we get ready for the ride of our life, huh? It's a ride that we take with Jesus. Paul starts our text with these words. He says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. In the original language, Paul is saying this: you ought to think like Jesus thought. So that means that you and I as Christians ought to see all of the experiences that we go through in life as Jesus would see them. We ought to see all of our experiences in life as events that are connected to him, to Jesus Christ, And so what happens to me on a daily basis makes sense to me because of what happened to him, what happened to Christ. I suffer for my faith because Jesus suffered. I share the gospel because Jesus shared the gospel. I call people out for their sin because Jesus called people out for their sin. I submit to the authority of my parents, my government, my congregation, because Jesus submitted to authority. I worship God publicly every week because Jesus worshiped God publicly every week. I show compassion and words of encouragement to the sick, to the hurting, to those who are struggling, because Jesus showed compassion and words of encouragement to the sick and the hurting and to those who are struggling. You see, we're called Christians. The word Christian is a diminutive. That word means we are little Christs. Because we believe in Jesus, we're like little Jesuses, little Christs to our world. We take this Holy Week ride that he went on, and we ride right along with him. We imitate him. You see, the life of Jesus is one of the most compelling examples for us to learn and follow for our own Christian living as a response to the gospel. And this is especially true in Jesus' attitude of humiliation. Jesus emptied himself. That is, he didn't make full and continuous use of his being God. He didn't assert his power and push himself forward. He didn't take advantage of people. He willingly laid aside his being God, all for the sake of saving the sinful human race. That's a ride that we want to have in our lives. For you see, our life is really, it's not about us. What we can get out of it. What we want. What we can enjoy and what we can use for ourselves. As we ride along with Jesus, just like him, we lay aside our rights. We lay aside our privileges. We bring ourselves down. We humble ourselves. And refuse to make use of what we have coming to us for the sake of other people around us. And instead, we are determined we are going to serve our world with Christ-motivated love. Oh, there are tons of examples that I could cite for this type of life. Parents, who sacrifice themselves for their kids, working long hours to provide for them, getting up with them in the middle of the night, changing their dirty diapers and reading to them and laying aside what they might want to do for the sake of nurturing their kids God's way. Or another example, people who work to serve others with their occupations, their callings. Doctors and nurses and secretaries and teachers and factory workers and support staff and policemen and firefighters and computer technicians and all kinds of other occupations where other people benefit because we with our gifts can do something good to help them. And then there are people who enlist in our military and go off to faraway places. And they're willing to die for their country in order to protect us. Or we can think of church workers, right? And leaders in our own congregation, people like pastors and our teachers, staff ministers, missionaries around the world, and our lay leaders here at Our Savior, many of whom empty themselves of their own time and pleasure simply to serve God's people. This is what Paul means when he says in our text, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What a privilege, my friends. We ride along with Jesus as he rides this week into death knowing that we too are dying every single day as we consume ourselves in loving service to our Savior. But our ride with Jesus doesn't end with the grave, just as his ride during Holy Week also didn't end in Joseph's tomb on Friday afternoon either. See, as we ride with Jesus in his humiliation, so we also ride with Jesus in his exaltation. And while it's true that, we'll be completely glorified after we die, after we leave this earth, that's not the emphasis here in our scripture text. Paul's emphasis in this scripture text is on how we Christians right now have the victorious life. We are exalted with Jesus right now. You see, right now, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood, the Apostle Peter says. And that's true right now in the present. We have the name of Jesus on our lips and in our hearts and in our everyday lives. And we confess Jesus as the Lord of those daily lives. That means that we Christians are really living right now in a win-win situation. God's in charge. We're riding with Jesus in his state of exaltation, and everything that happens to us has to work for our good. Practically speaking, we need to remember this victory that we have right now in the present. Because so often, we're tempted to fall into our pity bath, especially during these difficult days in our country and in our culture, huh? And it's so easy for us to begin to take the attitude of, oh, woe is me, I have it so bad mentality. So easy for us to fall into the Eeyore mentality of the Winnie the Pooh series, huh? We begin to feel sorry for ourselves and we dwell on all of our problems and all of our hurts and all of the ways that people have wronged us or have done us dirt. And we focus in on how badly we feel. And how tough life is, right? And we want to make sure that all the people around us know all of our difficulties and all of our problems. You know, for many Christians, you'd think they were living some sort of endurance contest. As though it's sort of a grit your teeth and bear it. You look at them, they have surly faces and frowns on their forehead. And the first words out of their mouths are about all the things going wrong in their lives. We need to remember where the ride of our life ended. Not on Good Friday, but on Easter Sunday, huh? We are alive in Christ. He's the Lord of our daily lives. We can't lose. No matter how bad life gets, no matter how much we blow it, and no matter what goes wrong, even if we die. So let's stop living like Christ is still dead. Oh, it's going to be hard. I know that. It's going to be hard to maintain such an attitude. It takes lots of work, lots of effort on our part, all empowered by the gospel. Huh? But you know, sometimes we just have to force ourselves to smile and laugh and enjoy ourselves. And enjoy the people around us. Sometimes we just have to force ourselves to think good thoughts. And to be determined we are going to enjoy life and then throw ourselves into it. Huh? With all the consequences of sin around us, that will be hard. But it was hard for Jesus too. And he did it. And we're connected to him. Holy Week was a roller coaster ride for Jesus. But look where he ended up, huh? At the top, with his heavenly Father in his right hand in glory, so also us, our life. It will be a roller coaster ride. But look where we're going to end up, right? At the top, at God's right hand in glory. So get ready and enjoy the ride of your life. Amen.